You want to go first?
I went first last time.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. I don't matter to me. You want to throw me the book, Chris, though?
Echo.
Yeah,
just him. Echo.
Just me.
Boy and his toys.
Oh, yes.
Do you want me to, like, take my clock off the wall so you can watch the time? That way you know where to space out your... Yeah. your commercials there, bud.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's surely the moment that I don't wanna miss. And what I'm trying to say, well, I don't know, but I thought it was important just a minute ago. What I'm dying to say can't even be bought, cause I lost my ticket on the train of thought.
Hello everybody, this is Richard with episode 16 of Comic Pop Library. We have Chris, Matt, and today we have April and Logan with us again to throw in their comments periodically. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello all.
Hello.
I forgot what we do from here.
Today we're talking about...
Really?
What?
Yes, I did. I went completely blank.
Richard had a hard day.
Evidently so. I took my nap and I haven't woke up yet. Today we'll be discussing Norgard, Book 1, Across Thin Ice by Tess Garman and Tegan Gavitt. And after that, we will be discussing the first season of Sons of Guns. First off, what we'd like to do is any podcasts that are out there, we'd like to cross-promote with you guys or gals. If you have a spot that you would like for us to play or even just a text that we could read off, we'd be glad to swap out and have you do a spot for us, and we do a spot for you. So if you're interested, contact us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com, and I will get that, and we will get in touch with you and see what we can do. This week's spot is coming up now.
Do you love the nonfiction section of your library? Reading about someone's life, do-it-yourself books, or any other subject that you might fancy? If you do, Dodge City Public Library's Book of the Month Review Podcast is for you. Join Michael Biltz and Chris Dressler as they review and discuss nonfiction titles. Go to dcpl.info, and on the upper right-hand side of the page is a podcast link. Click on the hyperlink, click to hear our new podcast. Once you are on the podcast page, look for the podcast entitled Book of the Month. Click the play button and enjoy.
First one up is Norgard, Book 1. This is the first book of a projected series of graphic novels. It's not in individual issues. It is graphic novels. This one is subtitled Across Thin Ice. As mentioned in the intro, it's by Tess Garman and Tegan Gavitt. They co-write and co-illustrate the book and is published by Sofa Wolf. That's a name for you right there. And it fits the image on the title or on the cover.
Yeah, everybody else can see that.
Yeah, it has a couple of, has at least an Alaskan Husky. I don't know what.
It's a Labrador.
We were trying to figure that out in the book. What the different breeds
or
of sheepdog supposed to be.
It's one of those stories that takes animals and translates them into basically human characteristics. They walk upright, they dress in human clothes.
And they are anatomically correct. I mean, the dogs have the longer back foot. No.
Do I need to ask any specifics on
that? Is that what you pay attention to reading the whole book? Is there foot?
I could not tell that one dog, that first, the, I don't know her name, I don't remember her name, was a female.
True. That is true. The first introduced character, it did, I was the same way. I thought it was a male, then later on you find out it's a female. But this is one, it's in the vein of Redwall, Mouse Guard, Mouse Templar. So if you've read those type of stories, you'd probably be interested in this type of story. The setting is in Alaska, and they have mines up there, and they're prospecting. And it's kind of like almost 1800s feel is how I kind of got it. There's not really automotive technology. If it is, it's real limited. It's kind of how I understood it.
It's hard to tell because there probably wasn't a whole lot of that up there in Alaska anyway.
And it's in a small frontier town where...
They- Did they have electricity? Did you notice in the bar, was it all candlelit or was it light bulbs?
I don't know if they ever actually show
light bulbs. They do have light bulbs.
So they had electricity. So it's after 1890s.
Okay. So.
Well, I guess they had
late 1800s, early 1900s.
Yeah.
But it has that old time feel to it, though. You don't have the modernization of all the technology.
There's a tiger.
Yes.
In Alaska.
And a bear. Oh my.
Well, they're normally from Siberia, so.
I'm thinking it's a warthog or some type of
warthog. But the setting is in Alaska, like I mentioned.
And he is a pig.
You let him finish.
Oh, yes, he is a pig. That's what warthogs usually are.
No, I mean, he acts like it. He acts like it. In the book, he is a smart ass.
Well, my mind doesn't talk, so I don't know how smart mine is. But we're filling our oats tonight, everybody. We're filling our oats. To get back to the story, a mine is attacked. We don't know why. It's never really clearly explained. Then it switches to this small frontier town where a dog sled team is, and they're having a nice, cool beverage of beer, more likely of some type. And, yes.
Dogs drink beer all the time. So
you bet.
Yeah.
Don't you let your dog drink beer?
There's a deer. Where was it? Up in Canada somewhere? They were feeding their deer beer.
Well, that's in Japan, the beef. They feed,
the Kobe beef.
They have them
drink
beer.
They give a beer.
Yes, we're in Tangent City tonight, folks.
Apparently.
But the whole story is centered around this dog sled team that is in this tavern. And the team is led by, I pronounce it Pi. It's P-I.
Basically 3.14.
Sure, if they know that back there. I won't go into the other comment on that. Her second in command is Nickel. It's a husky. Pie, I'm not sure what breed. That's who we were talking about before. At first, it was unclear. I thought it was a male dog, but later on, find out she's a female dog. Then we have a scout. The second in command is London, and that's the husky. They have a red-haired, I believe it was a husky as well, called Nickel, and it's a scout. Then there's Jerry and Freaky, which is the two-wheel dogs. And I'm not sure what brand. Looked like a mix of a wolf and some other breed. I'm not sure, because they were bigger than the other dogs. The team gets introduced to a new member called Doc McKay, and it's a golden retriever, and he's a rookie to the team. And they are a civilian group that transports different things to different towns and so forth, but their also primary mission is tasked as being rescuers.
Supply runners,
and on the side they...
Rescue dogs.
There you go. Thank you. But the story itself, they get a mission from this warthog, Major Oleg, and I just called it a wild boar, but yeah, warthog.
You know, when Matt said that those are rescue dogs, I was really surprised that none of those dogs were St. Bernards.
Give them time. They might meet up with one.
I thought of that.
Then they wouldn't have to go anywhere to drink anything. They'd be right there on the neck. But this Major Oleg is Russian. The way they depict how it talks, it sounds like he would be Russian. And they get put on a secret mission. And the second-in-command doesn't really want to go, but it's one of those situations where they're living off what they make, and they spend it, and they got to have another run to keep going on and living. They go ahead and take this mission to this mine, and they are given no information. They just know that communication has been lost there. And the last thing that came from that mine was many dead, more dying. And that's all you know from that point on. The rest of the story is pretty much them getting ready for the mission, which takes probably maybe 4 or 5 pages. Then the rest of the book is them traveling across the country. And this is one of the ones, this is one of the stories where don't get a complete story in one book. It is a series. There is a planned projection of future books. They have not announced how many books, but it's one where you are left at the end just right there. And they're looking out over the horizon to the next obstacle that they go to. And the first obstacle in this book was some bandits basically attacked the sled team. And they have to go through that while they're traveling to this town.
I didn't think the bandits attacked them. I thought they attacked a deer or something.
Oh, and they rescued the deer.
And that's where they found the bandits thing.
That's right.
I remember the book.
Yeah, but when that whole scene actually played out, I couldn't figure out if the guy they shot was a good guy or a bad guy. And it wasn't clear until after they walked
after
up
they
to the deer.
Him. Well, that's what they said when the dude shot him. It was like, how do you know he was the bad guy? Well, he was the one doing the attacking.
True. You just assume that it is true. But the way it's brought out, the way the major talks and deflects everything, they pretty much know it's a one-way mission, the smarter of the dogs anyway. The rookie's kind of just there. He's kind of dead weight at this point. They haven't really brought his character into it. It's probably going to be him learning as he goes. The word balloons I thought were really crisp. The story was easy to follow. And for me, it was intriguing enough to want to read more. It's roughly 75 pages, a $20 price tag. The art in it was, just the artwork alone was
I think the artwork
beautiful.
Was better than the story, but that's my opinion.
I went to their website, and they said they do it in watercolor paint. It's some of the vistas they have in it are just beautiful.
It's beautiful artwork, and I agree with Chris. I like the artwork better than I like the story.
Yes.
I have to admit. It looks kind of boring.
It's not a whole lot of action. It's more, I guess it's like anything else. It's the character building.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it's kind of like a Wheel of Time. From what I've heard people discuss it, Robert Jordan's Wheel of Time, they spend a lot of time on the journey and discussing stuff on the journey. This feels like it's going to be the same type of story. They're going to be telling all these experiences on the journey to this town, and it's almost going to be like almost for like real time traveling, and it's going to take them a while to get to this mine. I said town earlier. My mistake. It's a mining town. So I think even the second book, I'd be shocked if they're even at the mine at that point. Because it feels like I said, they're taking this long journey.
More of the traveling to get there. That's what I was trying to figure out when I read the book is, okay, is the story about them getting to the mine, or is the story what happened at the mine?
The bulk, I believe, like I said, is going to be the journey.
Okay, which makes more sense.
Right.
Unless the story gets past the mine.
And sometimes they'll do that. They will get to the mine. They'll have a extended. It's kind of like they have this first part, then they'll have the second part, and then they'll have, if they go past the mine, I can see them possibly doing, you know, repercussions from the actions of that mine if they want to.
Yeah.
Or it might just go into
another
mission.
Yeah, another mission.
And you're traveling with them again. Because I think, to a degree, this almost feels like a travel book. They want you to see the scenery to a degree as well, and seeing how beautiful it is in Alaska. To me, it's for $20. It's a nice addition to the library. No questionable things in it that I could tell right away. There is some language, a little bit of violence, but as a whole, I would put it in the teen section without any problem. Characters are interesting enough. They interested me to keep going, and they definitely threw me with pie. Because like I said, I thought it was a male.
The second book isn't out yet?
Not yet. They're working on it.
Okay, because see, that was the thing. When Matt and I were discussing this, we were like, you know what? We really need to see the second book. Because by the first book, I wasn't all that interested in it. It's kind of one of those things where, okay, yeah, you know, I like what was going on. I like the artwork more. I already said that, but I need to see the second book before I actually make a
decision if you like it or not.
Decision if I like it or not, yeah.
And this is one where, since I read stories that have those cliffhangers constantly, it doesn't bother me near as much. I'm used to that. I can see where a person likes the story, that's going to be hard to get past.
It's not really the cliffhanger at the end that I didn't like. It's just, I don't know. I can't really explain it.
75 pages is not enough to sink your teeth into, to a degree.
Yeah.
I can understand that. This is a small publication out of a small press. So
this American?
Yes, it is. So if this is kind of one of those where they're doing it on their own, Sofa Wolf picked it up to publish for them. And if they want to continue, some of it will probably depend on sales. This is one that you're not going to find through your major distributors like Ingram or Barnes and Baker and Taylor and any of those. I had to go through a comic store to pick it up because when I tried looking into the bigger distributors, they did not have it. But when I contacted the comic book store I use, no problem. They were able to get it. So this would be one that you would have to probably go to a comic book store to order.
Who is that published by?
Sofa Wolf.
Okay, so self-published?
Pretty much. It's a small public press that the artist will come in and say, this is what we need. We want to print this many. And they pay them for it. Almost like a vanity press type deal.
Well, the reason why I asked that is because there's a bunch of sci-fi authors that are now self-publishing. Michael McCollum, he does Gibraltar Earth, Gibraltar Sun. They're very good books. But I think there was one Michael McCollum book at, I found it at Dodge City Public Library, that they had one Michael McCollum book. But that's all they have. And so when I requested other Michael McCollum books, they couldn't order them because they're not through the major distributors. He self-publishes everything. You have to buy it directly from him off his website. And he prints it as he needs it.
Well, these gentlemen have a website of their own, but when you click to purchase, it takes you to the Sofa Wolf website. So you're actually buying it from that press rather than them directly. So it's kind of the same situation. It's just a print-on-demand type deal.
Mm-hmm. The year is, it's in 1903.
There we go. Set in the early 1900s, 1903.
In November.
To go back to that earlier question we had about what the time frame was.
She's reading the book real fast. Yes.
No, I'm just flipping through it.
It's on page one.
It's on page nine.
Oh.
Let me see the book real fast, April. One of the things I really liked, if I can find it here real fast.
The copyright date is June 2011.
This is the model of the Nordgard, and I wanted to get that in here. Always running, never tiring, so that others may live. So they're, yes, they're transporters, but
I think they're more rescue.
More of a rescue team, you know. Right?
That's kind of what I thought, because they had a doctor
and
a surgeon
on their team. Right. A surgeon on their team, that they were more of rescue dogs, that people get trapped or whatever.
Go out and help.
And they're just transporting the major because people are hurt up there and need to go help them.
Why are they transporting the major?
Well, it kind of goes through, they semi-work through.
The military?
They talk about a company. Right. But they never say what the company's name is. They just say
they left that a mystery.
Right. They left it a mystery, but how I felt, it's kind of like Matt said, it's a company that it'll take contracts from anybody if they have the money, and sometimes they take military contracts.
Right.
And it was a rescue mission as well to begin with, so the dogs would have been sent up there anyway. This is just another way to get a little bit of money at the same time. And
yeah, kind of like a bonus. Right.
So they think that there's a Russian connection at the mine?
The countries are
never determined. There's no America that I can tell. There's no Russia. They've never determined a specific country. So I'm not sure how that's going to fall out. The reason they're taking a sled team is because it's out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody can get to it. So, you know, it's 1903. There's no
aircraft. So it could be Canada, not necessarily American.
True.
It doesn't necessarily have to be Alaska.
But the whole trying to make the Warthog look like he was Russian, I think that was on purpose. So
do I. I think
it
kind of feels like almost a parallel world where humans didn't evolve. It's the animals that took over, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting, and like Chris said, I need to read the second book just to see what
it's like.
Yeah, see if it's any better.
Any better?
Well, I almost any better. That's bad choice words. I didn't like the story, but I kind of wanted to see if it's the same portrayal in the second book to whether or not I'd like the second book. I don't think it's a bad book. Just not for me. No.
I was talking bird. It's probably in Alaska because there's a flag in here that has a blue triangle and red and white stripes.
Yeah.
That I've seen like three times.
So it's kind of an American flag looking.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a parallel world, but I don't know how the country structure is.
Who knows?
If you want to see some of the artwork to this, you can go to their website. It's Nordgard.com. NordGuard.com. So if you want to go there and look at some of the artwork and a little bit of the text, you'd be able to do that as well.
Keep going.
Oh my God, that would suck.
Did you break the recording?
I broke it.
Is it going again?
Yeah, we didn't lose much.
If your library is interested in this and want to support a small press, this would be one to pick up for your collection. It'd be well put within the teen area, no problem at all. Like I said, your Redwall fans, your Mice Templar fans, if they read that type of stuff, your Warriors by Aaron Hunter, which is about a lot of cats.
I kept thinking about that book, but I thought it was called Cats.
No.
No, so I didn't want to mention it.
Yeah, that's a musical.
Yeah, I know.
You know that very well.
I thought the book was called Cats, too.
But this would be one that, if you're interested, pick it up. I think your patrons would enjoy it.
If they like artwork, yeah. Even if they hate the story, they'll like the artwork.
Go!
So then, dude, what you buy it for?
Okay. One of the other things we'd like everybody to do that listens is we are on Facebook. You can like us there. You can get our blog posts updated to you directly from Facebook. Also, email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. Send us questions. The three of us will try to answer them to the best of our ability. If we don't know it off the top of head, we can at least do research before the next cast to get it to you. Also, if you have recommendations of something that you would like us to review, send those in, and we can put them in the rotation on items that we will be reviewing for future podcasts. So please, let us know what you're thinking. Let us know what you'd like for us to review, and we will do it for you.
send us your email.
Next, no.
Should we tell them we will find them if they don't?
Yeah. We will looking for you or something. Yeah. What is his name?
Nice, Echo. Yes,
God. Oh, next up we have Matt here, and he's going to do Sons of Guns for us.
Sons of Guns is a TV series that is on the Discovery Channel. I think they are in season 3, just started. But season 1 is available on DVD, which this is why we're doing the podcast. Sons of Guns is, I don't know if you want to say reality TV show.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Reality-ish TV show.
I'll throw it in that section.
It is actually based on a, what I would say, true company called Red Jacket, which sells firearms.
Red Jacket Firearms.
Red Jacket Firearms is the name of the company. It actually has a website.
Mm-hmm.
Where you can purchase firearms that they make in the show on their website.
One. Oh, well, duh. Man,
they are sweet guns. let me finish here. Come on.
God.
The show features Will Hayden, who is the owner, founder of Red Jacket, his daughter Stephanie, and a cast of other crew members, Vincent, Chris, Joe.
No, Vince isn't in it anymore.
Well, he kind of left
season
the
first
well, I
one.
Guess I guess since season one is on DVD, he
yeah,
be
he's in season
now.
One. And a few other people that work in the show. And
oh, I hope that's not
show.
A spoiler.
Yeah. We're killing it for you in season 2.
Spoiler alert.
I like the show. I started watching it because they just build some really cool stuff. People bring in antique firearms. I know they some guy brought them a Civil War cannon, I think, in season 1. And they, you know, tested it, did something to
they
it.
They did a couple. They did a World War II one as well.
Yeah, and got to fire this cannon. I mean, how cool is that? True. You know, they just get to do some really cool stuff with that. Not only that, they build these really cool firearms. But then there's, you know, the drama of the shop and, you know, things that happen in the shop and with the builds. And
Chris is acting stupid. I'm leaving.
Yeah. That's season 2.
That's season another one. Spoiler alert. season
1, I don't think there was as much drama in season 1 as there is in season 2 and 3 so far.
Yeah, it was more about the guns.
It was more about the builds in season 1. I think it'd be cool if you have patrons that like reality shows, but also like, there's one of your deals you want to cut out there. I said,
Yes, thank you.
See,
I'll say it again.
See, now that you brought it up, we're all going to be self-conscious about it. Now, every time we say it, we're going to say, edit.
Edit.
But I wasn't talking about us.
Edit.
It was her.
But what was I saying?
is what you were saying.
There wasn't as much, that's what I was saying, there wasn't as much drama in season 1. It was more about the builds of their guns and the stuff that happened.
You know, they did a lot of R&D type of stuff in season 1 where they discussed their own sort of, what they have, what they sell on a regular basis.
Right. Yeah, because they sell all kinds of modified, I guess, I don't know if you want to say modified guns or...
They are, they're mods.
Modified
because
basically.
Because they take the standard AK-40, or AK... Yeah, they use AK-47.
They use AR-15.
And they change it to do different things. Like, they made it a sniper rifle once.
They silenced an AK-47 gun and made it basically a silenced. But they call it something, and it's not a screw-on suppressor. It's one that incorporates the whole barrel.
Ported.
So, yeah.
But they
port
the barrel on. Right.
So it doesn't make the barrel any longer. It's just covering, you know, and... So they do this kind of stuff, and they sell that stuff, and they also sell, I guess, the modifications so you can make your own that way. I've been on their website and looked at a bunch of different stuff.
I would say if you buy a weapon from their website, check your local laws first on what you can get in or not.
Actually, I looked into that just to see. You actually have to go to a licensed gun dealer. They actually have to purchase the gun through Red Jacket, and then they get it and give it to you.
And then you have to let the sheriff know. You have to go to the sheriff and register the gun with your local sheriff.
Yeah. Okay. We actually looked into this because
you're serious about wanting some of these, huh?
Oh, man.
They're not illegal to have if you have all the right documentation.
All the right documentation for it. So, you know, that's fair warning on that. But it just the show itself has, they just build. And I hate to get into more than season 1, but season 2, they build an AR-15 that... is
you can throw in the sand, step on it,
yeah, like
pick
an
it up and shoot.
AK-47 is a gun that pretty rarely, you know, ever jams. They built an AR-15 to do the same thing, you know,
and they had a government military contract for that one.
Well, they left that open-ended.
Yeah, they kind of left that open-ended.
Because the general was there. Right. And then at the end of the show, he said cameras are off, mics are off.
So we can't really say that there was an actual contract.
I think it's a good show for patrons, you know, if they want somebody that likes guns.
I wouldn't call it family, but...
maybe.
I mean, there's no cussing or anything, but a kid's not going to understand.
There is.
Yeah, there
they cut
they,
it out.
They bleep it.
They bleep it out. But
they bleep out everything on TV.
Well, true. But yeah, it's a that few of them don't have very good mouths.
They could be saying fart, not beep.
But there is drama. So if you like the reality shows with drama, if you have patrons
so
that are into
older
guns,
teens and adults. And
yeah, it's definitely a...
This would be one more for the male audience or your male patrons coming in that would probably enjoy the hunters, the people that... The gun enthusiasts.
People who are going to identify with what they're doing.
Right.
So.
Right.
If you give it to a soccer mom...
She's not going to like it. You don't know. The soccer mom may be into guns.
That's true.
That is true.
That's what I said. If you have patrons that are into guns, they're going to like the show.
And who in Kansas is not into guns?
Well, pretty much everybody.
But they do have a female element to the show.
The
I don't
chick.
Know if
and
this
Stephanie.
Was. I don't know if this is in the first season. We kind of mentioned it already a little bit, but she took a rifle and painted it blue and white.
I think so.
And then she also in the second season, even though it's not out on DVD, I've seen several episodes on TV. She does a holster on the inside
thigh.
Yeah,
the little garter holster for the Dillinger.
So there is a little bit of a female element there for females that are.
I think they're trying to build. I think they're trying to bring a little more of the female audience into the show with that. You know, because there are women out there that like. To shoot guns.
Do like to.
As well as guys, so...
And she was one of the characters that I didn't like at first. It was like, her voice just did not match her, and she had to grow on me before I started liking her character. The other one is it Chris, the youngest one in the shop?
Yeah.
He's pretty much...
Like a dingleberry?
Yes.
He's a little off the wall.
You know what? Discovery puts him off to be that way. I don't think he really is, because he still works there.
Who?
Chris. That's
okay, spoiler alert. Because he marries the daughter. Come on.
Oh.
He's been there before.
He looks funny.
They all look funny.
He's just weird.
They all look funny. Have you not looked at them?
No, I don't.
These guys are funny.
I like that one dude with the orangish reddish hair.
I could fit in with him then.
There you go.
Yeah, I look funny too.
But most of the cast I enjoy. Hers was the only one that was just her voice. The way she speaks just did not fit her at first, but I did get into it eventually.
They portray her as kind of the manager, I guess you want to say, of the store front that they have, and pretty much everybody else but Will is more or less a designer, builder,
stuck in the
research
back.
Design
right.
in the shop that they have, which I guess is a huge shop from what they portray in the show. Pretty good sized, and I think you only see part of it. I don't think you see because they talk about other people shipping and
they have a place out in the country to shoot most of their weapons.
They go several different places that they go out.
Sometimes it's to customers' land. Sometimes I think it's their own too, though. I'm not sure. They have an indoor range.
I don't know.
They do stuff.
But they pretty much blow
under
up
a certain caliber.
They couldn't shoot the 50 in there. They said that.
Okay.
Our shop wouldn't handle the 50. Yeah, right through the wall and back out the other side.
Didn't they have a 480? What was the hog?
457.
That one they could shoot in their...
Right. Well, that's because it was...
But
it wasn't
just
a
couple more millimeters must make that much difference.
No, because of the velocity of that round. It was a hard-hitting but low-velocity round. It was under supersonic,
I thought
think.
It was 1,800.
No, it was way less than that. I don't remember. Oh. I don't know all the particulars, but I know it was a big bullet. A really big bullet. But it's an interesting show, and I think it would be, you know, something if you're...
Oh, my gosh, Dad.
Yes.
Okay, you know, I was running the beach yesterday
okay.
for track, and there were, like, shotgun shells everywhere in the sand.
I was wondering where the story was going.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Out target shooting, apparently.
Where's the beach?
Yeah, I was going to say we're in Kansas.
It's not a beach. It's, like, got some little pools of water and a lot of sand that goes up to, like...
So it's an oasis in Kansas.
Yeah, basically.
She's in long distance, so they go out to the country and run.
It's like you go down past the train tracks, down, turn somewhere again.
I love the directions. Wow.
It's somewhere out
now,
there.
Now that we're totally off on another tangent again.
Hey,
holy cow.
Not a single person is going to go out there finding you.
Really?
Mr. Overeemwood.
But yes, I think with our location, the hunting is there. Like she said, she sees shotgun shells everywhere. Kansas, the Great Plains states. Well, even, I don't know about more of the eastern or western coast, but
scared.
The middle range of the states, I think, would definitely have an appeal for some of their.
Aren't they based somewhere around Louisiana or somewhere in that area? I don't know if they ever actually say.
They're by New Orleans.
Because I know they went to New Orleans a couple times. The cops have been there, so I'm taking it they're not too darn
too far.
Because I know they did something for a boat one time for the cops.
They did a reenactment once, too.
Yeah.
World War II enactment.
Yeah, which was kind of cool, because it's not really anything to do with making a gun, but they
like to see explosions.
They blow up something at end of every show. There's an explosion at the end of every show of some kind, and they will put something in orbit.
They made a homemade bazooka.
Yeah.
With their own Estes rocket explosive, that have explosive warheads on them, and it's crazy.
Yep. As I said, they just build.
They made a bow and arrow with an explosive tip.
We have an explicit tag, so I can say they make some really cool shit.
Beep.
You're a little late.
They make some really cool stuff.
They do, and I think it'd be a good, if it's a series, you know, that if your library does that, it would be a great one to have just to throw in there for people to look at, see. Maybe they may even look at it on the shelf and go, hey, what's this? Check it out. You'd like it. You know, you might get a better audience for that. But
or stare people to it that you might think are interested into it.
Yeah.
Interested in it. Excuse me.
I think that what made me think of that was there was a patron in that asked for some help on looking up gun parts. And I was like, hey, have you seen this show? And he's like, yeah. It's like, okay, just making sure, you know. So it was kind of cool.
There's a few gun clubs in our area.
Yeah.
That might get into it.
Yeah.
Two really cool ones. So
we've got the 4-H gun club. And then
we have one in our area, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
They're trying to get archery club up, but we do have a gun club as well. So, like I said, definitely in the rural states, you can definitely probably market this.
Oh, yeah.
No problem.
I think so. And I don't know, maybe you can market to California.
It's kind of weird in California, though. Like, there's, like, rich people over there, but then there's, like, in the backwoods. It's kind of weird.
Wow.
There's rich people in California, everybody. News, yeah.
I am sure that she is naturally blonde.
Huh? Well, they wouldn't really get into it now, would they?
You don't know. There are people that collect guns that have buku money. And have
and they're
really
usually
cool
associated
guns.
With a cartel in California.
They might be. So, okay. Now that we're off on another tangent, we get back to what we're actually doing here. So.
I think we've run it into the ground.
Yes, I think so. We'd like to thank MusicAlley.com for providing the intro and outro for us today. It's Train of Thought by Andrew Lebman. We appreciate what they do for us. Check them out at MusicAlley.com. You might find some stuff that you'll enjoy there as well. Today, it's been a blast because we've been talking about guns. Guns.
There you go, Chris. Way to go make
the There's the ending.
The explosion at the end of the show.
Yes. We're having fun here, so everybody out there have fun, and we'll catch you the next time.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.